Motsy and Leighton for breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Triple M.
Alrighty, good morning everybody. 16 to 8, Potsy and Leighton, thanks to Accelerate 24-Hour Fitness Centre on Daubney Avenue. Always good to catch up with this guy when we can. Joe Williams, good morning and welcome.
How you doing?
It's good to be home. It's like my resident home place radio station. Yeah. I've been in here a million times, I reckon, since I was about 15.
Maybe follow you on Facebook. You're all over the place. You don't get to visit Wagga much these days.
I know. It's disappointing. You know, I'm from here, and I travel largely around Australia, speaking to different schools and doing workshops in schools, and I haven't been contacted by not one Wagga school.
We'll see if we can fix that today. Look, we've had you, as you've alluded to, we've had you in many times before. Usually it's ahead of a big boxing bout or to promote a charity event, but a little bit different today in that we've got you here ahead of your official launch later today of your new book, Defying the Enemy Within. How long, the project from the concept to where we are today, just about to launch the book, how long was that, Joe?
The process itself took about probably a bit over 12 months.
Yep.
I wrote the actual manuscript, me having bipolar disorder, like I've got extreme highs and extreme lows, and in one of my manic periods, I wrote about 40,000 words in a month.
Right.
When I was over in America, just touring around the place and reflecting on different things. Because what I do as my job, I speak about my life.
Yeah.
So I was reflecting on different times in my life. And everywhere I went, I spoke with a guy called Kevin Hines, who's a phenomenal person and speaker. And everywhere I went, they said, "How come you haven't got a book, Joe?" And I said, "I just haven't written one."
Yeah.
They said, well, you should do it. We'll buy it. And I said, "Yeah, well, why not?" And we're here.
Did you ever regard yourself as an author?
No way. You know, at school, I probably got school teachers that are sitting back going,
"What?
Who wrote it for him and who had spell check on?" Because, you know, at school, I couldn't write a 1,000-word essay.
Yeah.
But I've written this book from cover to cover, you know, close to 60,000 words.
Was it easy to write because of the subject?
It was therapeutic, yeah, I won't lie.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what was it therapeutic for you to get all that out of your head and onto paper?
It was. You know, what happens when you sit in a psychologist's chair or you walk into a psychiatrist's office? You tell your story. I'm lucky I get to do that every day of the week in front of different people and different crowds. But writing it down, this is the first time that I've actually told everything from go to woe. You know, I might have 45 minutes on stage or 2 hours on stage, and you can't cram all my life into that. And being an ex-boxer, I'm a bit punchy, so sometimes I forget things. But getting it all down, it was just so therapeutic from the time that I was a kid right up until, you know, the work that I do now. Yeah. But the book is so much more than that. You know, and this in no means is a plug for the book, but I'm so happy with the way they structured it for me. I wrote the content from cover to cover, but the way that they've put it in pieces and it's almost like a self-help type book.
Mm-hmm.
It uses and speaks in depth to the key values that I use in my life and the things that I use in my life when I'm in the darkness.
Yep.
Because, you know, I'm not sure if I've told this on radio or live in Wagga, that I've had suicidal ideation since I was about 13. Mm. So a negative dialogue in my head that told me to take my life since I was 13.
Wow.
And I've been lucky enough to have a fairly successful sporting career, be well educated, and I've used these tips and tools to get me through this life. You know, I'm not saying that you'll go out and read this book and become an NRL player or a boxer.
Mm. Yep.
But it will help you improve your life by looking through a different lens.
We all have our ups, we all have our downs. For those people who do not suffer from bipolar, how down is the down?
In the book?
You.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Do you wake
up in the morning and go, "I'm simply not going to get out of bed today"?
Yeah, constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. And there's times where this time of year is hard for me. Specifically, this time of year, it's pretty difficult with some online hate and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I learned to grasp it and turned into a positive, I guess, and helped to educate some people. But, you know, I can have a thought, or I like to call them voices, but they're not voices as such. It's a dialogue that has you thinking of questions in your head right now. Mm. It's that dialogue that everyone has.
Yep.
but mine tells me to swerve into oncoming cars.
Wow, jeez.
So it's gripping.
And how do you combat that?
With the tools that I have in the books, you have to read the book.
Ah.
No, it's, look, when I speak about it, and when I get it out, it almost thinks that, like, once it's out there and you hear it, you go, well, that's how on earth could that happen, Joe?
Yeah.
You know, it validates it and thinks that, yes, well, this is what I'm going through is real, but there is no way in the world that I'm going to do any of this stuff. Yeah. Like, it implants thoughts and ideas of suicide into my head every day, and has done since I was 13 years
old. Joe, what was the turning point for you? I mean, you obviously got to the lowest of all lows. What was the turning point? What made you go, look, I'm going to turn this around? And the sort of things that you did to do that.
Yeah, it's been a process. It's been a big process. And, you know, since my attempt in 2012, it took me till 2014 in doing the short film The Enemy Within with Simone Dowding here in Wagga.
Yep.
At the Wagga Film Fest, it took until then to speak about it, and still then I didn't get all of it out. So it's taken a really lengthy process, and I think that comes with the stigma of mental health and mental illness around the country and across the world. But it's taken a long process to be able to fully know within myself that, you know, I'm okay with this. It's good to talk about, and it helps people. That's what helps me the most. I'm out there helping other people.
When you were playing footy and boxing and you're a national icon in those sports, was it because of that you could not come out and say that you had this disorder?
Well, I can't blame the sports.
No. Or the profile. But because of the profile that you had.
Yeah, it's me. When we talk about stigma of mental health, stigma of mental health isn't out there with other people. Stigma with mental health and mental illness is within. It's within. It convinces you that no one cares about it. It convinces you that everyone thinks that you're weak. It convinces you that everyone thinks you're a burden. And when you start to combat against that mind, that's when you start to come out of it. And boxing did that for me so much. You got someone across the other side of the ring trying to knock your teeth out.
Yeah.
You have to learn to fight back.
Yeah.
And whether it's physically or mentally, there's times in the ring where you go, geez, I don't want to be in here.
Yeah.
This bloke's a bit hard for me. You know, he punches a bit hard. He goes a bit too good for me. You have to come up with things to combat that.
Mm.
Boxing taught me to fight back against my own mind. All the times that it told me no, I had too much pride to fold over and be weak in the boxing ring. So I always stood up physically.
Yeah.
It taught me to stand up mentally.
When you do your speaking tours, visit schools and stuff like that, what do you talk about?
I talk about everything. Nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Nuts and bolts. But I also talk about, because that's the thing that gets me in the door. The thing that gets me in the door is that I was an NRL player, that I was a boxer. Kids want to hear about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they also need to hear about the mental dialogue that has crippled me in my entire life, that stopped me from achieving what I should have. Call it what I should have, stopped me achieving a little bit better. But, you know, I speak about the nuts and bolts, but I speak about how you can turn your life around just by improving yourself 1%.
Joe Williams is our special guest this morning, everybody, here on Triple M. Joe, can I ask you what your day-to-day life is like now? Because you come across as a very smart, articulate man, very confident leader of your people. You're compassionate, you're calm, you're positive. What's going on inside your head now? Are there daily demons that you've got to combat all the time?
Without doubt, mate, daily. You know, I refer to people with that because people ask me all the time, you look so calm.
Mm.
You look so calm, Joe. How on earth do you go through that? I'm like a duck on the pond. You know, everything on the surface looks smooth sailing, but underneath it's just going a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's how my head is. Those close to me, you know, my family, particularly my fiance Courtney, she can realise.
Yep.
And now one close to me who's just started working with me, my manager Mel, she picks it up. She goes, what's going on today? Courtney will say, you're doing all right?
Yeah.
They know that, you know, and exercise is a huge thing that helps people out of these dark times. People think that going to the gym is fantastic because you lift weights and you complete your goals. No, it's not that at all. It's proven that 23 minutes of rigorous exercise equivalates to 12 hours of better moods in the brain.
Mm.
It releases the endorphins to equal 12 hours of better mood. So Courtney says, You're a bit grumpy. Get out and go for a run.
And see, what you bring up there is true, but the other side of the coin is if you're in a depressive state,
you don't want to get out of bed.
You don't want to get out of bed, let alone go anything. To the gym.
So when I talk about improving yourself by 1%, get up and walk to the mailbox.
Yeah.
And if you get up and walk to the mailbox, look at next door's house and walk there.
Yeah, just keep, just keep
improving by the tiniest of margins. And it's most important to live present. When we're living in our heads, that's when the problem is. We start to think too far ahead. That's when anxiety creeps in. Oh my God, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. What if this goes on? And when we think about the past, that's when depression creeps in. Oh, if I hadn't have done this, then I wouldn't be feeling the way I am now.
Bipolar is one thing that had an influence on you. What about drugs and alcohol? Where did they fit in?
They were a band-aid. They were a band-aid.
You thought they were the solution, but they weren't?
I thought I had a drug and alcohol problem.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
For a lot of years.
Yeah.
So I got off the drugs and alcohol, and then my noise turned up in my head even louder.
And that's when you realised
it was bipolar. I've been clean now for 12 years, and I thought I had a drunken alcohol problem, so I gave all that stuff away. And then I went, hang on a minute, it's just got worse.
Wow.
Maybe it's not that. So I started to look into a little bit deeper about some of the things that I was going through, and I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And, you know, through the ups and downs of life, so a few different things happened.
The drugs, were they medicinal drugs? Were they...
Both. So, you know, I had a prescription drug addiction for a long time, and also there was never any performance enhancing or anything like that. Recreational.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a recreational drug user when it was... made at the height of my career,
hoping to get rid of the
quieten
demons,
quieten down the noise.
Quieten down the
that
noise.
That was the only thing that could quieten down the noise.
Just on a. This is completely away from the book, because I'm intrigued to find out what your answer will be to this. A couple of years ago, when you were announced as the Citizen of the Year here in Wagga Wagga, you took a stand.
Or seat.
Yes, correct. And at the time, you were smacked around. Let's be honest; it was some of the stuff on social media was pretty brutal. Now that we're a couple of years down the track, do you think that we're having a more calm and more rational conversation about the potential of changing the date for Australia Day?
It might look like that to you on the surface, yeah, but I still cop the abuse.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
I know you do.
I still cop the racial abuse. I still cop the family taunts. I still cop all of that.
Yeah.
But in a large, I believe, the country has come forward leaps and bounds.
The point I was trying to make there, that small stance that you took at that time now has... We're engaged in conversation about it. We've still got a long way to go, I'll admit that. And yes, the point I do make is that you still cop what you cop, but that gets back to the positiveness that you've got, because you just seem to handle that. Like, I've never seen you lose your cool. I've never seen a post where you lose your cool.
You haven't been in my house. When the kids are going mad.
Mate, Potsy loses his cool if you can't find the remote. Yeah.
But I think that just says a lot about where you've come. I mean, you cop all that, and it would be very easy. It's a beast, social media. It would be very easy to throw back what's just been thrown at you. But you don't, Potsy.
And in all honesty, with the view that a lot of people have, rightly or wrongly, have of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with some behaviours in our communities, that's what everyone expects me to do.
Mm.
Everyone expects me to lose my cool. Now, what's that going to do? Losing your cool is not going to get anywhere in life. And so I try, and I wrote so much about this in the book. I wrote about the times where I was verbally abused and racially abused all throughout my high school days.
Yep.
And I talk about clipping a guy under the ear holes, and the old man got at me. He said, why are you so angry at these racist remarks? I said, Dad, no one can call me a black so-and-so.
Mm.
He said, well, what colour are you? I said, well, I'm black. He said, well, he's only telling the truth. So I learned by informing other people through different education, that's how you beat racism. You don't beat racism with anger.
Yep.
You don't beat racism with violence. I can understand, however, how people do, because On the other hand, we have our behaviours. We strip those behaviours back. Sometimes we have substance abuse. Strip the substance abuse back is a band-aid for trauma. So when we're looking at trauma, that's when we have violent behaviours and different behaviours in community. So I work on my traumas every day, and I can understand when people lose their cool. I can understand when people aren't as, I guess, reflective in a moment. To me, I process every single word that comes out of my mouth before it does, because I know it can get me in trouble.
All right, mate. Yeah. Look, absolutely, we could chat for a long time, but we've got the news, and I know you've got a busy
day. Way more important.
I know you've got a busy day with the book launch today. So, mate, what is happening today? So it's from midday today?
Midday today, down at Collins Booksellers down there, near the marketplace, and
you'll be signing autographs and
signing,
all
yeah, yeah, signing my books. Life away. if anyone comes down, I understand that there's a bit of rain around today, but hopefully we can see some people down. You know, the best thing about it, my mum went into that bookstore and she said, "Will you be stocking Defying the Enemy Within?" And he actually said to mum, "You know what? We've had 30 pre-orders for that book.
Good.
Who is this guy and why is Wagga? Why is Wagga ordering this book?" And mum was like, "Oh, well, that's my son." She was stoked. So hopefully I'll get to see everyone down there today and have a bit of a chat about my journey.
You got
to
tell your mum that she can't buy all the books.
She's lived through half of it. So
she
doesn't need to read it again.
Joe Williams, the new book, Defying the Enemy Within, launched later today from midday through until around about 2 at Collins Books. Mate, always a pleasure. Door's always there when you want it. Always good to see you, mate. Thanks for coming
in. It's a gripping read. I won't lie. It's fairly intense and it's confronting, but you'll get some healing out of it.
Thanks, Joe. Good to see you.
Thanks,
mate.
Boys. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Always good to catch up with Joe Williams. We urge everybody to get down to the book launch today, midday at Collins Books, for the launch of Joe's book. We should also remind people, too, that if you do need help or know someone who does, you can get in contact with Lifeline 13 11 14 or Beyond Blue 1300 224636.
Potsy and Leighton for breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Triple M.